This episode is brought to you by McAfee.
Yes! Playoff tickets! Just need to click here and... Wait, what? Fake site? Good thing McAfee threw the red flag. That would have been $400 gone.
McAfee blocks risky sites so you don't pay for seats and other things that don't exist. Plans start at just $39.99 for your first year. That's cheaper than parking on game day. Learn more at McAfee.com/online protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Blue and hot, hot.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rivers backs to throw.
Phillip Rivers, it's an easy call for the Colts.
Live from the Rich Eisen Studios in New York City. Earlier on the show, WWE superstar Gunther. Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward. Emmy Award winning actor Hank Azaria. Coming up, actor Paul Rudd. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here inside the Get Up Studios.
Yeah.
It's the Rich Eisen Show Studios, though, for these last 2 hours and this final third hour. Also, we're going to be here in New York City over the next 2 days, Thursday and Friday as well. When we finish up the hour, I'll explain why I'm in New York City, why we're all here in New York City. It's a pretty big night tonight, and I'll explain that later on. We've had a fun first 2 hours. Gunther of WWE before he tries to end John Cena's career on a sour note for Cena. He was here in hour number one. Cam Hayward, fun Zoom chat with the Pittsburgh Steeler. Also talking about Phillip Rivers returning at the age of 44. Cam had an interesting take on that. Hank Azaria just left our studio, and Paul Rudd is going to join us in just about 10 minutes. He is here in New York City in support of his new film with Jack Black, Anaconda. It's a fun movie. Can't wait to talk about all of that with our buddy Paul Rudd. Disney Plus ESPN app is how you can stream us live every day, 12 to 3 Eastern. We say hello to those listening on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris, TJ, Mike, I've got my power rankings.
Oh,
let me get this out of the way before Paul Rudd joins us right here on this busy Wednesday. Hit it, please.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Ah, yes, these are my week 15 power rankings presented by Sonos. I've got a new team. I've got a team that's back on the list. I've got four teams that stay
like
before. And I got the music. Felly's back in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Get the drops ready. Number 10 on the list. I'm not knocking them off the list here.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, your Cowboys are off the list. I'll just tell you that right now.
Okay,
see you later.
Okay, good.
I didn't even. They're off the list.
My day hasn't been bad enough.
Down five spots. I'm not taking the Bears off the list. I still am putting the Chicago Bears at 10.
Okay.
They did enough to maybe win that football game in Green Bay. They just couldn't finish.
Cole Kmet was open.
Yeah. So was DJ Moore. But Caleb and the Bears, I think, acquitted themselves well enough for us to sit here and say we've seen enough to say that, yes, that win streak that took them from 0-2 to 9-3 that's now a 9-4 record. There's enough real there. There's enough there. And they do have the Cleveland Browns at home next. I think they're going to be a 10-win team welcoming the Packers into their house to try and even up that series and give them a shot to win the division, if not the conference. At the end of the day, the Bears are still a top 10 team. They're minus 5, though, based on last week's ranking of 5. All right. I'm putting this team on the list, finally. And I hope they don't make me want to pull the car over and have a talk. They say that they're not respected.
Okay.
They say they'll never be respected. Okay. I'm putting the Jacksonville Jaguars on this list at 9.
Jaguars.
I see what you're doing. I see what I saw in London where they were just shooting themselves in the foot over and over again. And I saw what they did in Houston where they were up by 19 and then lost that game, and the Texans have gone on a win streak that is significant. And I know you're going to be upset by the rest of these rankings, but I'm respecting you enough to put you right where I'm putting you at 9-4, and they're going to be a 10-win team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, after they take care of the Jets at home before they go to Denver and then try to sweep the Indianapolis Colts and Phillip Rivers maybe in his third start for the team in Week 17 and then have an easy one at home, if you will. They're never easy, but Tennessee coming in. This could be an 11. I know I'm going high register.
You did, Rich.
In advance of tomorrow. So I just went, this could be an 11-win team easily and maybe a 12-win team. And that could be a team that not only wins a division, but has an outside shot. Threatening somebody for a one seed? I don't know. This is a team that is running the football well, playing good defense, and they've eliminated a lot of these shooting themselves in the foot mistakes. They're 9. Now I know why they're going to be upset. Because I'm putting a team with a worse record than them and the Texans above them. Now, the Texans have beaten them. And this win streak that they've been on 5 in a row started with the Texans coming back from 19 down at home to the Jaguars. Hey, man, the Texans just beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead on a Sunday night in a cold night, and they beat them up. I mean, they just absolutely beat them up. They took every mistake that the Chiefs made and stuck it where the sun doesn't shine. So they're 8th on this list, and even though they did not play the way that I'm seeing everybody else play in the National Football League, the way that I'm seeing their level of play to date, despite being on a bye, I'm popping the Niners up 2 spots to 7.
Woo, win the bye.
This is as high, I mean, they did win the bye.
Yep.
This is as high as I put them all year long, pretty much. They're 7th on this list. The Niners up 2 spots and back on the list from off the list to 6th. I'm putting the Bills right here.
Woo.
The Bills at 9-4. Stop the run. Run it down your throat and have Josh Allen go ahead and beat you. If this team in Buffalo could start playing some better third down defense, get off the field, the Buffalo Bills have a true chance to make a nice little run here and go into New England starting this weekend and say, guess what? Nice little 10-game win streak you had there. You beat us in game 2 of that 10-game win streak in our house. We're going to come and return the favor to you. We're going to play some opportunistic defense, and Josh Allen is going to show Drake May what an MVP quarterback looks like in a chilly night or chilly afternoon in Foxborough. That's on the line this week, and I'm putting the Bills back at 6. Not in my top 5. Up 1 spot, the Green Bay Packers. This is where the Bears were, so I figured it's fitting to put the Packers right here. The Packers have the Denver Broncos this
week. That is a sneaky, huge game.
Well, I mean, my buddy Gus Ramsey, I should mention what he texted me in one of these commercial breaks. He's the diehard Denver Broncos fan. I think the Broncos qualify as a trap game this week. Packers playing us in between 2 games against the Bears, even though Denver has won 10 in a row and hasn't lost at home this year. Green Bay is favored. Sounds like a trap game to me.
Interesting.
Is what the Broncos fans said. I don't know if Matt LaFleur is going to be treating this like a trap game. This is a real deal measuring stick for everybody. And I have the Packers at 5, up 1 spot. And Jordan Love with back-to-back 3-touchdown games and back-to-back touchdown games for Christian Watson. And Micah Parsons is beginning to come on even stronger. Number 4 on the list, starting the stream of no changes stays like before. The Seattle Seahawks are there at 4. They're just taking care of teams before halftime more often than not. I'm putting the Denver Broncos at 3. They're staying like before. The Denver Broncos sitting there at 3 because they're... What are you looking at me like that for?
Well, I'm thinking about who's left, and I'm just wondering.
The Patriots are 2.
Okay.
And even though they didn't play, and I knocked one team up by 2, I raised the Niners by 2 on their bye week. I'm knocking the Patriots down 1 on their bye week because I think the Rams are the best team in football again.
Ooh.
That's what I think. I think that was just a blip on the radar in Carolina, and I'm putting the Rams as the best team in football, because I think they would pretty much beat everybody else from here on out. I think the Panthers got the Rams for the last time. And I'm saying that with them hosting the Lions this week and going to Seattle the next week. I'm putting it all on the line here. Okay. Maybe I'll reshuffle the power rankings. But, Chris, all I got to say to you is I apologize.
Okay.
Patriots were on a bye. Knocked them down by one.
Noted.
And the Niners are on a bye. I raised them up by two. They're in a lower rent district than the high rent district in which I'm putting the Patriots. Plus, complain about the committee. It's par for the course this week.
The committee.
And the committee of one right
the committee.
Here. That's right. That's it.
Yeah, no, not too many issues. With
Cowboys and Eagles out. The Eagles are out for the first time in quite some time. I couldn't even keep them in there anymore. Just couldn't. What, am I going to knock the Bears out just because they lost in Green Bay in a hotly contested game and I'm knocking the Eagles, keep the Eagles who the Bears beat as part of their three-game losing streak? I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, maybe. And look, I know you like to kind of look over the steering wheel with some of these, too. And you look at the schedule, Bears, harder schedule, Eagles, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
You could have kept them at 10.
My power rankings are brought to you by Sonos. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos products look as good as they sound. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Rudd's about to join us right here live in our New York City studios for the week. Anaconda in theaters near you shortly. Paul Rudd on your television screen or radio ear gate. Coming up next here on The Rich Eisen Show from New York.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. On the TV side, we just saw a clip of Anaconda in theaters nationwide December 25th. Jack Black and Paul Rudd here on that movie's poster. Outstanding. That gives you an idea there that this is a reimagining of Anaconda.
I hope right so. Yeah, I mean, I think you look at that and think...
You're looking scared and shocked at the same time right there.
Yeah, right. Absolutely, yeah. Well, we're wrapped up with one. I mean, look at that thing.
You're locked.
Hopefully, we'll survive that photo shoot.
In. How is Jack Black, man? The best, right?
He is. He is just the best person on the planet. I love him.
How often have you done anything with him?
So, the first time, well, we were both, he was an anchor man, although we didn't have a scene together, but he was riding the motorcycle and he got, I think, Will Ferrell threw a burrito in his face.
Yeah.
And then he and I played Lennon and McCartney, which makes no sense, in Walk Hard with John C. Reilly.
Okay.
And so I've known Jack for forever.
Right.
And I am obviously, like everyone else, just a huge fan of the guy. But this was the first time that we actually really got to do a full kind of like movie together.
Full to do.
Yeah.
And how did this idea come about? Like it where you, like, let's reimagine Anaconda.
So,
right? But it's a comedy.
Right. Well, it's a very clever, it was a very clever script, I thought.
Yes.
And the guy who wrote it and the guy who's directing it, they did a movie called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Nicolas Cage playing himself and Pedro Pascal.
Yes, yes.
And I saw that movie four times and I loved that movie. So I thought it was really clever and funny. And so when I read this, I knew what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with this. I thought, oh my God, this is such a funny, smart, interesting way to kind of tell this story.
Right.
And, yeah, and that's how it happened.
And then it's in theaters nationwide on December 25th, on the day that here's how I'm going to bring it home here. The Chiefs will be taking on the Denver Broncos.
I see where you're going.
In a game that you're hoping means something. I can't believe I'm saying these words right now.
I don't think any of us can believe what you're
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
How is this season landing in the Rudd household right now?
Well, I mean, there have been better times, but, you know, it's, look, this is a very difficult sport. there are a lot of really good teams and a lot of really good players. A lot of circumstances determine outcomes of games. And, you know, if it is, sometimes it's not your year. And if it isn't their year,
right.
not, we can't say for sure yet, although, you know, a lot of people seem to be saying so, and understandably, then so be it. And I'm happy for whoever it is.
Well, would you like some hope? I've got some hope for you.
Sure. Bring it on.
See, I wanted you to come here and get some hope. I hopium, if
please,
you will, and
inject
some hopium into your Chiefs system.
Just plug it right there.
There we go. Here we go. We're about to inject
into the veins.
Here is the way the Chiefs can make the playoffs.
Okay.
This is a scenario that I think is possible that's up on the screen right
okay.
there. Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
They have to win out.
Yep.
Have the Chargers lose two of their last three, because winning out means you beat the Chargers this week.
Mm-hmm.
One of their last three losses has to be at Denver. Don't ask me why, it just is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two games in which they'd have to lose one also is at Dallas and home for Houston. Mm-hmm. Those are losable possible games.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, to use a Marvel phrase, you see the infinity glove that Justin Herbert is wearing in his left hand right now.
Yeah.
The Colts have to lose twice.
Okay, yeah.
And the Ravens and Dolphins can't win out. And you're
this does fill me with a little bit of hopium. I see that and I think, okay, it's not impossible.
No. And it's more than a dumb and dumber chance here. You know what I mean? Like,
you're telling me there's a chance.
Telling you
okay.
there's more than a chance.
All right,
right now.
All right.
The toughest part is they got to win out, and it just seems like they can't put consistent drives or quarters together. And if Mahomes is working, then the receivers might not be, and the other way around.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a patchwork offensive line.
And then Andy Reid, his decision this past week, it was just like that blew up
on that fourth down.
Yeah. You know, so that's the tough part, is the winning out part, which never used to be the toughest part.
Yeah, you know? Well, they'll certainly be motivated, but, you know, again, sometimes it's not your year. Hopefully it will be, but whatever.
Do you have more hope now? Did I accomplish that mission?
You've really turned me around here, Rich.
How are your fantasy teams doing? Where are we?
You know, pretty good, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, pretty good.
Which one's got a chance?
They all do.
They all do?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in like 20 of them.
No, but I mean, I'm in three of them and they're all gone. I mean, it's history.
Yeah.
It's gone. Like the Goodfellas. He's gone and there's nothing you can do about it.
There's one that I kind of squeaked into the playoffs.
Okay.
Two other ones I've had a fairly strong showing. But here's the thing about fantasy: you get in the playoffs, it's anybody's. It doesn't. You could have the greatest team, and it just, and you could have been undefeated.
Yeah,
you get one weird weekend, and you're done.
You could lose to an.
That's the thing about playoffs: one and done.
I should write that down.
Honestly,
yeah. Let me hold on. Get my pen here.
This is how it works. I don't know if
really
you guys know this.
Profound,
deep thoughts,
man.
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
No, if you lose, here's the thing: if you lose in the playoffs, there's a really good chance your season's over.
I had no idea when you put it that way.
Yeah.
It's really final.
Goodness. Yeah.
What are the team names of the teams that are going? What do we got?
Oh, God.
What do you have? What do you got?
Is one of them, I think, might be a Garden of Kisses.
Okay.
That's good.
I love your fantasy team names.
Garden
of Kisses.
Garden of
Where did that? Is that a lyric or is that something you saw in a magazine or something?
Like, I don't even remember. I think it was just, I think I heard the phrase once.
Yeah.
You know this, Rich. We've talked about this. I hear phrases and I hate them so much that I actually put them in my notes section in my phone. I'm like, I'll name my team that this year. Which, that's like a floral moment.
That's right.
A floral moment was, and I told you.
Yes.
That I saw on one of those, you know, home shows.
Yes.
Of like some interior designer giving a tour of a house for sale, and this it was like an alcove, and this is a wonderful space for a floral moment. And I watched that on TV and screamed, "You mean flowers?"
So then you reach for your phone.
I'm like, I hate that guy. I hate this show. I hate everything. This is going to be the name of my fantasy team.
A championship fantasy team?
It might be.
Okay, very
good. Yeah, talk to
everyone. Garden of Kisses is one.
Yeah, Garden of Kisses.
It's in the valley in L.A.
Okay, that might be it.
Is there? Is that?
Apparently, that's what we're being told, yeah.
Garden of Kisses.
Yeah.
Is that what? Oh, wow. Maybe that's where that? I heard. What kind of place is it?
Good question. That's
right. Yeah. It is a fact of being told. It's a florist.
Yeah.
It's not like a place where you can get your nails done.
Yeah.
You know, or anything like that.
Somebody thinks what's I want to say, but, well,
you know, yeah. I'm just yeah.
So what's your team name is?
It's You Donkeys.
You Donkeys.
Because of the aforementioned story that Hank told in
that's
the last
right.
hour.
Yeah.
Another one is because you named it Finger Gunned by Costner.
Yeah.
Well, you actually rejected that one, and I used that one. Which is the one that he
isn't John Lynch's hot tub one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't use the one that I picked.
No, we did use the one that you picked. It now escapes me.
Blanking. Oh,
yeah, now yeah. you're now
did someone on, take
we're blanking.
Hot tub?
Yeah,
that someone took it.
Tub, someone else used.
That did not work. For us, the one that
Big Dom's lockbox.
Oh, right, that's right. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Big Dom's lockbox started like the Ravens 1-5, and then made a run like the Ravens, and is now missing the playoffs most likely. you don't want to have your fantasy team mimic the story of the 2025 Ravens right now. By the way, have you been in a guillotine league? Have you tried that?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
So
it's
fun.
The greatest. I'm still alive in one.
You are.
And by the way, this is what I mean with any week. Like I was crushing in the other one. And I had Jonathan Taylor and had a bunch of and then one week just
over.
Over. But one, I'm still alive.
Oh my God. We're doing it this year.
It's really fun.
It is the greatest fantasy game that could possibly be created.
And I also really like best ball only because it's like really fun to draft and then you don't have to think about it. I think you're doing very well.
I am winning our best ball right now.
Yeah,
the standings.
I know I'm not.
Ball.
Yeah, your Paulie Jukes is way back right now. Yeah.
I think we're in third.
You guys
we're in third, but
I'm up top and I'm up by 12. And who am I going back and forth with?
I don't know.
It's a guy named Peter.
Is it the guy that takes 8 hours to draft?
Well, I mean, we went back and forth on that front. I stepped into a buzzsaw of complaining about that.
The worst part about those drafts is, and I have such stress. If I go to sleep. Or if I'm going to sleep, I stay up for hours in case it gets to me.
Yeah.
And then I wake up every hour on the hour. I'm like, I check my phone because I don't want to keep people waiting.
You were in London when we were doing this.
You were
19 hours ahead of
me. Yeah, Paul,
you're in sixth, Paul.
I'm in sixth place.
In best ball, yeah.
Yeah.
Right ahead, just 7 points ahead of John Hamm.
All right, well, that's okay.
That's
good.
As long as you beat Hamm.
Yeah.
You know? Paul Rudd here again. Anaconda is available in theaters nationwide December 25th. You know what's popping up? And I know you're not on Instagram or social media or anything like that.
Yeah.
But what's popping up on my timeline over and over again are Anchorman moments where you can't keep it together, pretty much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, is it the one where Will is blind?
That's and one of them.
Uh-huh.
Right. Or there's all of them. Like
really?
where it just seems to me where it – Or you can't keep it together when you're trying to throw lines out there, right? They're where they make you go over and over and over again with whatever pops in your head,
right?
And then it makes Will laugh.
And I can't, there was one where literally a scene none of us could get through. The other guys weren't on camera,
mm-hmm.
and it was Steve Carell started laughing first, but it was when he was talking about Pompeii. That's all I'll say. and it destroyed me. Will Ferrell is the funniest. He kills me. There's another one that goes around that sometimes people send me too.
Yes.
Melissa McCarthy in This Is 40, where she is just a comedy assassin.
Where she'll do what? Just keep throwing.
She was sitting, and Leslie Mann and I were in the principal's office, and she just started ripping into us, and I've never seen anyone decimate an entire room like Melissa McCarthy in that scene.
Yes.
We were in a room, and there's about the crew, like 20 people behind the cameras. You know, you have boom operator and the stills photographer. And there's 20-something people. By the time she finished that scene, there were 6 people left. People just had to keep leaving because they were trying not to laugh. Because it would ruin the take,
right?
Which was pointless. I was crying throughout the whole thing, but she's incredible.
Yeah, I mean the Will Ferrell line about Pompeii—it's now in my head.
I'm reading the transcript
you
now.
You can't.
Nothing can be repeated.
You can't.
That's right. Yeah.
Repeat.
Yeah, nothing can be repeated
at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, was there one in Anchorman 2 where you're in a car or something like that, and you guys couldn't keep it together? It was like where who was it? Where Koechner was talking about being in love with all of you guys or something. Well,
that might have been in the first one.
Is that in the first one? Was that in the first one?
Was that one where he was talking about how he lived with Roger Staubach?
Wait, what?
Refresh our memories.
I don't know. Literally, that just popped in my head for the first time in about 15 years. I don't even remember if that was what it was. But I remember Champ talking about Roger Staubach.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah, these keep popping. Glorious. It's every obviously I watch one and then I'll share it and then it'll then just start feeding it.
My favorite thing to do is just to watch bloopers and watching people laugh. That's it. I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch news bloopers or whatever it is. And I'll 3 hours goes by and I'm just still.
Well, it's Carell. It strikes me as he'd be the toughest to break, though, right?
He's really, really good at keeping it together.
But he was the first one to break it.
Well, this is interesting. There, that scene where, Will was blind. It was when he started doing it, I was actually weirdly the one who did keep it together, which seldom happens.
Yes.
Steve started laughing first, which he never does. And, but the clip that's online is just me. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's, my God, I would.
But Carell is just another comedy.
What's your favorite SNL skit that you did that you've done in all of the times that you've hosted? Do you got one? One that you love the most that you did?
I don't know if there's one that I don't know if there was one that I love the most, but I did really like the. I hosted once in One Direction was the musical guest. And we did a sketch where I was with all of these young kids.
Yeah.
And I would just happen to be a huge One Direction fan and know everything about the band and really get in the face of these kids that don't get their, trivia right.
Oh, I think I remember that where the band is coming off stage or something.
I'm just
like
a really overzealous One Direction fan, but I don't, Yeah.
And that's the stuff that gets pitched to you during the week, and you're like, I'm in on that.
That was the only one I went in. I had an idea for a sketch.
You had the idea for it.
Yes, and I remember pitching it I think it was Chris Kelly was one of the writers.
Right.
But they wrote it. I had this idea that, it'd be fun to be a grown-up, because they were just enormous at the time.
Right. And so being a grown-up and just...
But being way, way...
Big One Direction fan. Yeah. Fantastic. One of the guys in our guillotine league that's really... Cooper, my youngest son, is in the guillotine league, and he's survived to this point as well. And it's truly for him, it's like the biggest moment of his young life right now. Every week, he thinks every play is going to chop him, and every play that gets him off the guillotine is something that he didn't see coming. And the person who loves to give him the most grief in the text chain, which is the best part about this, is have a text chain.
Yeah, sure.
Is Vinny Pasquantino of Kansas City Royal.
Have you?
Yeah, you know Vinny, right?
I'm a fan for sure.
You would love him, and he would love you as well. Yeah. And he goes nonstop at my son about this sort of thing. And it's
Vinny's still alive.
Vinny's no, he's
out
not.
Now. He's but he's still taking time to Cooper.
Well, here's what's so great about guillotine leagues is sentences like this. So Cooper needed Hunter Henry to get one more catch on Monday Night Football, and Vinny was on the guillotine. And if Hunter got one catch, and he didn't have a catch from the second quarter, he didn't have one in the third quarter, ended the fourth quarter, and Vinny is just like. Locking in on Cooper, like, are you nervous? Yeah. Like, sending text, are you nervous? You're nervous? And Cooper was nervous.
Sure.
Hunter Henry gets one catch in the fourth quarter of that Monday night game against the Giants. A celebration breaks out in our living room to the point where it's like, the Yankees win the World Series. And he immediately sends a GIF to Vinny of the moment where Vinny hit a home run but thought he had lost the ball somewhere. And he sends that to Vinny Pasquantino. And I couldn't have been more proud of son to basically clap back at a Kansas City Royal.
Way to go.
So fun.
Yeah. I know. By the way, I just squeaked by and guillotined this week because I thought it was done. I went in. I had I played Mahomes as my quarterback.
Right.
And he had the worst, outing of his career.
Yes.
And I was going up. I was the guy behind me only needed 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing Hurts.
Oh my God.
Wow. Lost by 1 point.
Oh no.
Because of the turnovers.
Because of
all those turnovers.
So we were looking for this from this past game you're talking about.
Yeah.
We've been looking for somebody who was helped by Hurts turning over the ball twice in the same
play. The reason I'm still in a guillotine league is because of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there going, wait a minute. You were probably like everyone else, like, wait, does he lose?
I didn't even watch the game.
Oh, you
I went to sleep. I'm like, I'm out of it this year. I'm not going to watch it. And I fell asleep at like 8:30 at night that night, I think on Monday. Yeah. And so I didn't see anything.
Oh, my God.
And I woke up. I woke up at like 4 a.m.
Oh, you checked your phone?
I look at my phone. Well, I just saw it like, and it was John Schrader text me.
Yes.
And he said, I can't believe it. That's how I read it. Then I woke up. I'm like, what? And I looked and I never went back to sleep.
It's like a jolt of coffee. It's like your morning coffee.
Like, how did this happen?
I love it.
And I thought for sure the score is going to recalibrate in the morning and I won't.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So you're heading off onto Anaconda Press Tourville. That's basically what you're doing.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then are you done for the year working or you're or that's it?
After this?
Yeah. You're done. Right? Or no?
Yeah, well, there's not much more of the year left. After
I
mean, like,
duh. All right.
No, but
okay.
That seemed what's fresh of me. I didn't mean to like condemn you.
Well, true though.
No, I just have
a stupid thing for me to say.
I'm doing my New Year's Eve one man show
in Branson.
That's right.
So you do
Branson. That's exactly right. That's where I do it every year.
Every year,
I have magic fiddle playing and
It's the little slick.
It's the little slick.
That's what you got.
Yep.
All right, and Big Slick has been dated, correct? Where we got a spot for next?
It's going to be late May, beginning of June, right around there. Where
what you do for Children's Mercy Hospital?
I really appreciate what you do, and all you guys like.
No, man, please. I think we're going to finally try and pull this off. I know that's one of those things said so conditionally is to do our show from the Big Slick again. We haven't done that in a long time.
Well, it's even bigger now. So you're welcome. Anytime. I got to be thrilling to have you.
Yeah. You and let's get this right. Koechner, Regal, Stone Street, Sudeikis. I'm not leaving anybody out.
Heidi Gardner
has now been added to the mix, right?
Right.
In recent years.
Yep.
All you folks from Kansas City, and I mean to call you all you folks, but for Children's Mercy Hospital.
That's right.
Which is just a place on earth that needs to exist, which is terrible but also great at the same time. How much money have you guys raised for that now?
Thus far we've been going, this will be going into our 17th year, and we've raised over $30 million.
Last year was 4.5.
congratulations on all of that.
Oh, thank you.
And Anaconda again is in theaters nationwide December 25th. I appreciate you stopping by here. Oh, we got one more thing to show you. We have a gag around here where if we try to help a coach make a decision or a quarterback make a decision, or fans call in and say, can you help me, you know, with this fantasy decision, or what should I do about that? We call it RES Consulting, Rich Eisen Show Consulting. That's the photograph that we use where Brockman is you right there.
Yep.
And Del Tufo is Steve Carell. I guess I'm the anchor man. Champ TJ right there.
That's great.
That's it right there.
RES Consulting.
We should sing afternoon.
And we're busy.
We should sing afternoon delight.
I would imagine you're getting,
We can't harmonize afternoon delight as well as you guys. Last one. Screw it. How did that scene come up? Afternoon delight. What's the
backstory? Okay, so the story was, it was never in the scene.
Okay.
But we were sitting at the news desk as they were doing a lighting setup. I'd been playing, I think, 70s music at base camp or something early that morning.
Right.
Anyway, Steve Carell and I were sitting there and we were just talking and that song came up. It had been playing earlier in the day. And the idea was, we should learn that song in 4-part harmony, because when this movie comes out and we ever have to, you know, go on Conan or do some show or something,
right,
we could sing it. It was never supposed to be the movie. It was a kind of a throwaway idea, but we mentioned it to Adam McKay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a week later, we were doing that scene and Adam says, you guys should do Afternoon Delight in this scene. I'm like, what? We were only going to do it for press. He's like, no, it would work. And so, we don't know it. He said, take 20 minutes. So we went to the side and we were trying to figure out our parts and we sang it in the scene. We had like a little, you know, like a little CD player or something in the corner. It was playing really low because we didn't have earwigs or click track or anything. So we were just winging it. We had to take about 20 minutes. And that's how that came about.
And you did, that was just one take? That's it?
We might have done it a couple times, but we didn't do it many times. No. And we didn't re-record it.
That was it.
Cut print.
Yeah.
Cut print.
Well, then there's a long pause, right? And then you guys have some conversation, and then it's like afternoon.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You're right. Yeah. It might have. And I wonder if it was playing really softly, if we knew when that was coming in, or that was the one part we just could just instinctually know to come in with afternoon daylight. I don't know.
And then everybody walks away.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Anaconda, available in theaters nationwide December 25th. You the man.
Rich, you're the best.
Love you, Paul Rudd.
You too.
By the way, we're here on the Rich Eisen Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Make sure, again, that you take the next step forward in your career with great benefits and an award-winning workplace. Apply at careers.progressive.com. You are off on the rest of your press tour, sir. May it go smooth sailing for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Paul Rudd right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, Anaconda on Christmas Day. Go see it.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Abercrombie Kids is bringing the cheer all holiday season, and the gifts too. No matter how long their wish list is, there's always room for just one more. Whether it's a new winter coat, an extra pair of jeans, or cozy matching sweat sets, get gifting with looks they've been waiting for all year. Shop Abercrombie Kids in the app, online, and in stores.
As you know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. That's why I'm proud to talk about Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in the fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. And we'll finish this show on Disney Plus about what I'm doing here tonight, along with the Jimmy V Foundation. And we'll do that at the end of the show. What a program we've had so far. Paul Rudd and Hank Azaria, the last two guests over the last couple hours, have been quite something. Let's sneak in a phone call here before we get out of Dodge on this day. Let's go. What are we going to do here? Okay, let's go to Rami here in New York City. What's up, Rami? Did I get that right?
How are you doing, Rich?
New York City. How are you?
Hey, Rich. How are you doing? Just want to say, first and foremost, a big fan of the show. I love you guys, and I'm glad that you're back home, Rich, in New York City. Always good to see when native New Yorkers are back in town.
Hey, man. I appreciate that. Mike Del Tufo is adjacent, New Jersey adjacent.
Shout out to Del Tufo, absolutely. Yeah. Just wanted to say, this whole Philip Rivers thing is just wild to me. It's like very Twilight Zone-ish. I can't believe he's actually probably going to start on Sunday. And, you know, actually, it's like Rocky IV when Apollo Creed is getting ready to fight Ivan Drago again. And I'm just wondering, is this what we're about to see? Like, we're all excited to...
No. Hold on a second. What happened to Apollo Creed?
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Before you say anything.
My goodness gracious.
America.
Wow. I mean, I'm concerned about his well-being, but my goodness.
Steichen going to throw in the towel?
See how the Seahawks defense has been making people think that.
And I want the Disney story. That's why I want to know if you think this is true. If Rivers somehow goes on this miracle run, gets into the AFC Championship game, he's the MVP. If he gets in there, he's the NFL MVP.
Well, the issue is it's a regular season award. So we would not be we would have to vote on him over his final four games, and that'll be a tough stretch. But I appreciate the call, sir, and your appreciativeness of our presence here in New York City.
And you say we now because you get a vote.
No, it's a royal we.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Get one.
Listen, Philip Rivers is one to root for. This just in, and in terms of stories, the guy's sitting at home or wherever he was, whatever he's doing on Sunday, and no idea that a phone would be ringing later on that day from a former team asking him to come back, and that the opportunity would be so great that he'd have to take advantage of it. And you know, he spoke today. And I had our crew back home cut a couple sound bites. This is on him playing for a team that he thought he was retiring from, and with a coach that he never thought he'd play for again. Shane Steichen was on the Chargers staff with Philip in his final days with the Chargers, and he had this to say on that.
As simple as can be is a coach that I love. And an organization that I really enjoyed being with, you know, Mr. Irsay believing in me in that year in 2020 when it didn't go so good in 2019, and shoot the teammates that I were able to play with, shoot 14 of them are still here, training rooms the same, you know, PR guys are the same, equipment rooms the same, and they wanted me, and you know I try to keep it as simple as that, and. You know, a game I love to play, a game that I thought it was I was done playing. Certainly, I wasn't really hanging on any hope of playing again. I'd kind of thought that ship had sailed. But something about it excited me, and it's kind of one of those deals. The door opens, and you can either walk through it and find out if you can do it, or run from it. And I know that there's risk involved, obviously, of what may or may not happen. But the only way to find out is going for it. And I just felt almost like it was a gift, another opportunity to play and cut it loose with your guys in the game you love to play. And the dream that you got to live, you may get some bonus time. So I really kept it as simple as that in my mind. And here I stand.
And here I stand.
Woo. Sounded emotional.
And it reads on the page. Again, I got these sound bites sent to me from the NFL Network desk. It reads that way on the page. I'm like, I can't wait to hear how it sounds. Mm. Here's another one. Whether he's physically ready. I mean, this is the ultimate question, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Mentally, we keep saying neck up, he's good.
Got it.
Hit it.
Yeah, we're going to find out that too. You know, I think so. I know it is tough, and I know 5 years is a long time. Believe me, that weighed on me a lot, it being so long. But it also is a game I've played a long time and stayed in over the last 5 years. And I know high school ball is different, but staying involved in the game. And I've watched the Colts and the Chargers every Sunday, about every snap, and I watch about every game there is. And I know that's not NFL preparing, playing quarterback. I know that's a far stretch from that, but it's not like I just kind of shut football down and I'm, you know, trying to pick it back up. I've been very into it since I've been gone. But yeah, no, it is a physical game and it's fast, and dudes are big and fast, just like they were. And so I'm just, take it a day at a time. And I do feel good. There's something about being back in this building that feels right. And I'm just thankful and, like I said, really just taking it one meeting at a time, one lift at a time, and really embracing it and going after it.
Right?
I mean, I'm sold.
At a few of the Vegas spots where, you know, I might play some wagers.
Oh, my God.
Philip Rivers is anywhere from 15 to 20 to 1 for comeback player of the year.
Oh, woo! Well,
I mean, if he goes 4-0, he's going to get it.
Other than that,
right?
around in other places that are being talked about, this is being talked about everywhere. I mean, I asked Cam Hayward about it. Kyle Shanahan, in his press conference today, it did confirm that when Garoppolo broke his foot and there was only Brock Purdy to turn to, they did think about Rivers and did contact him, yep, but then figured that they were ready to go with Purdy.
Mm. Yeah.
Stuck with him.
Wow.
And Kevin O'Connell was asked about it as well. and this is funny, he's not surprised about Phillip Rivers coming out of retirement. Quote, I know for a fact he's got a full-scale practice field at his house, and he's got enough folks in his family to form a team if he needs to. I mean,
we said yesterday, he's running 11 on 11.
Yeah, he could totally run a drill.
That's Kevin O'Connell's reaction. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's a story.
I love it.
Now, again, comeback player of the year isn't coming back from your couch.
No.
I know Joe Flacco won it, and I believe I need to look this up in the bylaws.
But you've been instructed
that's not what this award is for. It's about being injured and coming back and rehabbing and doing that. Right. But Phillip Rivers coming out of retirement out of nowhere, had no idea this was even an opportunity, because who knew Daniel Jones's Achilles was going to give way. Yep. And the fact that he is potentially getting ready to start for the Colts against the Seahawks in a crucial game for both is one of those you can't make it up NFL moments.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.